come to you this morning asking that you would please meet with us. Lord, I pray that you would help me to have a clear mind. Lord, help me to be able to say the things, Father, that you would have me to say. Lord, I ask that this would be a time of challenge, Lord, and of growth, that this would be a time that we could learn from your word, that we would be able to leave here understanding the lesson, the message, the sermon that has been prepared. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, keep your finger in 1 Timothy and go with me just real quickly to the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. And I want to show you this verse just kind of by way of introduction. Acts chapter number 20. You know, as a preacher of the Word of God, my job is to preach the entire Bible. The counsel of God. And you know, today, a lot of churches, a lot of preachers, a lot of different religions will only focus on maybe certain books of the Bible or certain stories or certain things. Right. Some places, you know, you'll go there and all you hear is the stories about Jesus. Nothing wrong with stories about Jesus. But there's a lot in the Bible other than just the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We understand the whole Bible is about Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. But you know, my job is to teach the Word of God. Are you there in Acts chapter 20? Look at verse number 27. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. This is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you," notice this word, "all the counsel of God." Do you see that? Paul was getting ready to leave the church at Ephesus here. He'd been here for a while. He's getting ready to leave. He's saying his goodbyes to everybody. And on his way out, he says this. He says, "Look, while I've been here, I have declared all the counsel of God." He said, "I have taught you everything I know. I have taught you everything that I knew from the Bible." He says, "I'm not leaving here without still holding back." He said, "I've taught you everything." Now, I'm not going anywhere, all right? But the Apostle Paul here teaches us a principle that as a preacher, your job is to teach the Word of God, is to teach the Bible. The reason I'm kind of telling you that is because this morning I'm going to speak on a very specific subject, but I want you to understand, the Bible talks a lot about this subject. Actually, the Bible, you'll see as we go through, there's a lot of scriptures in regards to it. So here's the thing, if the Bible says it, we got to teach it. If the Bible says it, we got to learn it. And this morning I'm preaching on the subject of appearance. I'm preaching on the subject of the way you look. Now, a lot of people, well, actually, lose your place there in Acts, all right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. A lot of churches today and a lot of people say, you know, you shouldn't talk about the way people look. You shouldn't talk about the way people dress. That doesn't matter. You know, that's not for us today. But you need to understand something. The Bible talks a lot about our appearance. The Bible talks a lot about the way we look. And I want you to understand a few things. You know, you say, why would you preach a sermon on appearance? Why would you preach a sermon on the way someone looks? Why would you do that? Okay, you need to understand this. The reason we do it is because your exterior, when we're talking about your exterior, the way you look on the outside, should be a reflection of your interior.
Amen.
Okay, now first things first, we need to understand this, so let's just settle, let's lay the groundwork. Are you there in Matthew 23? Look at verse number 25. Matthew 23, verse 25. The Bible says, "Woe unto you," this is Jesus by the way, he says, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees," here's the key word, "hypocrites." Why were they hypocrites? "For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Okay, we understand that just because someone looks like they've got it all put together on the outside doesn't mean that the inside is necessarily clean. You understand that? Obviously, we understand that. We understand that's what the Bible teaches. And even further than that, to look, you know, godly and spiritual and like you love God on the outside, while on the inside, you're doing everything the Bible says not to do, and you're just living for the devil, and you're living for yourself, and you're living for the world. That's hypocrisy. Okay? That's one of the main issues Jesus had against the Pharisees. He said, you make clean the outside, but inside, he said, within, you're full of extortion and excess. In another passage, he says, you know, you're white as sepulchres. He said, on the outside, you're beautiful, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. He said, the inside, the outside looks beautiful, the inside is dead. Okay, so obviously, we need to understand that we must first deal with the inside. Okay? But look at verse number 26. Is verse 26 in the context of verse 25? Verse 26 says, "Thou blind Pharisee." Now notice what Jesus says. Cleanse first that which is within. He says, look, give your focus at first to the inner man, to that which is within. But notice what it says. Cleanse first that which is within, the cup and the platter. Now notice this phrase, that the outside of them may be clean also. Okay, today people say, well, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. It doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. As long as your inside is clean, as long as your inside loves God, the outside doesn't matter. But is that what teaches what Jesus taught? Jesus said, hey, yeah, cleanse first that which is within. He says that the outside of them may be clean also. Here's what Jesus was saying. If you clean up the inside, the outside will eventually get cleaned up too.
Amen.
Because you got to understand this. When it comes to our appearance and when it comes to our clothing, your exterior should be a reflection of your interior.
Amen.
And if your interior is focused on God, then guess what? Your exterior will be focused on God. Go to 1 Samuel 16 in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 16. Today people say, you shouldn't preach about the way people look. Well, you're going to see from Scripture, stick with me, before you get mad and tune me out, just give me a few minutes to kind of just show you that the Bible does talk a lot about this, alright? If God's Word says it, obviously God thought it was important. Alright? Now in 1 Samuel 16, in verse number 7, you find the favorite verse of those who would want to teach that you should not tell anybody how they should dress. And look, and by the way, I'm not here to tell you how to dress. I'm here to show you the Bible, and you do with it as you wish. But 1 Samuel 16:7, here's their favorite verse. Here's the verse everybody always quotes, everybody always says when they say, well, you shouldn't tell me about dress. Okay, 1 Samuel 16:7, and here's Samuel going to the house of Jesse to choose a king. We know that king eventually becomes David, but Samuel looked at all of David's brothers, and they were all tall, and they were all strong, and they all looked like they were it. And of course, David was a young guy, and in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Bible says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Amen. Because I have refused him. That's a Zacchaeus joke. You know what I mean? Now notice what it says. Alright? Look what it says. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now praise the Lord that God looks at the heart. But you know what? Before you take that phrase, the Lord looks on the heart, so it doesn't matter what I look like, you got to understand this. God said the Lord looks on the heart, but He also said this, man looketh on the outward appearance. Say, why is it important how we dress? Because man looks at your exterior. Because man is not God. Man can't see your heart. Oftentimes people say to me, you probably heard this phrase before. People say to me all the time, go to 2 Corinthians, by the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the New Testament. People say, don't judge a book by its cover. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover. Who's ever heard that phrase? I mean, I think everybody's heard that, right? Don't judge a book by its cover. Now look, I don't know if you've ever gone to a library. I don't know if you've ever gone to like a bookstore, a Barnes & Noble. Okay? But, Does it make sense for someone to read an entire book, 500 pages, in order to figure out if they want to read that book? I mean, does that make any sense?
No.
Is anybody tracking with me? You're following me?
Yes.
You know what the purpose of the cover is?
Yes.
So you can judge whether or not you want to read the book.
That's
does that make sense?
Right.
Nobody picks up a book, reads the whole book, and says, I think I'm going to read this book.
Right.
You look at the cover, you look at the picture, you look at the title, you look at the back, you look at the inside, you read the cover, and then you decide, this seems like a book that I would like.
Right.
So people say, don't judge a book by its cover. I don't know how else to judge a book.
That's right.
And people say, well, don't judge me by the way I look. Well, look, that's all I can see. I'm not God.
That's good.
Well, God looks on the heart. Well, that's good for God, but I'm not God. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Say, well, why does it matter what man thinks? Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you've used that phrase, look, I'm sure everybody's used that phrase. I've used that phrase. I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying this. There's no other way to judge a book. And by the way, that's what the cover's there for. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. You say, well, why does it matter, Pastor? Why does it matter, how people look at us or how people see us? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. If you are a Christian, this matters. Now, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, this doesn't apply to you. You can just listen up and hear about how crazy Christians are, okay? But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what that means? I represent God on earth.
Amen. Amen.
Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. When I beseech someone, when I knock on someone's door, when I give the gospel to someone, when I talk about Jesus Christ to someone, I am doing it in the place, in the stead, as the representative of God, Almighty God.
Amen.
Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, look what it says, don't miss this. We pray you in Christ's stead. You know what that means? They're saying, if Jesus was here, He'd be doing this, but since Jesus is not here, instead of Jesus Christ, He has sent me, His ambassador, His representative, to come here and tell you something. What am I supposed to tell you? Look at the last part of the verse. Be reconciled to God. And by the way, that's what soul winning is.
Amen.
Does an ambassador for the United States of America, do they go and just say whatever they want, or do they say what the president wants them to say? By the way, do they look the way they want, or do they look the way the president wants them to look? They're not representing themselves, they're representing the president. I'm not representing the president, but I am representing God in Christ's stead.
Amen.
So, my exterior represents God, man looketh on the outward appearance. Go to, you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You say, well, why does it matter? Why do you have to preach on appearance? Because your exterior represents God. And men can't see your heart, they can only see the way you look. Why would you preach on the exterior? Because your body does not belong to you.
That's right.
People say, well, it's my body, I can do what I want with it. Not if you're saved.
That's right.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have not of God, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Don't miss this, which are God's.
Right.
Say, well, my spirit's God's, so is your body.
That's right.
My interior is God's, so is your exterior. You represent Him. You're His ambassador. So if God says, I want you to look a certain way, we might want to figure out how God wants us to look. Pastor, why are you preaching on this? Because I haven't preached on it in a while. And my job is to preach the counsel of God, alright? Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. That's where we started. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy, I just want to give you some biblical guidance, principles in regards to how God wants you to dress. I bet you didn't know that God had a way He wanted you to dress, but He does have a way He wants you to dress, and I want to show that to you. Some of you are really worried. I'm not going to sit here and tell you you got to wear a shirt and tie, okay? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to show you what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Okay, well, before we get there, understand this. You belong to God. Is that not true?
Amen.
Your spirit, your body, your mind, your heart, it's all to God. And you represent God. And as a Christian, so you got to understand this, okay? So some of you didn't know this when you got saved, okay? But don't worry, you got a good deal anyway. But when you became a Christian, life no longer became about you.
Right.
It became about God.
Right.
Our lives, our Christians, are to be centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, God teaches us the way He wants us to dress. Why does He want us to dress this way? Because remember, you got to remember this, the exterior should be a reflection of the interior. He says, I want you to look this way on the outside, because I'm hoping this is how you actually feel on the inside. Does that make sense? Are you there in 1 Timothy chapter 2? Now, understand this, okay? When it comes to clothing, when it comes to dressing, okay, God primarily uses the example of women, because let's just face it, as a class, women are the ones that probably care the most. I'm judging by looking at some of the guys here, that women are the ones that care more about how they look. Some of you, you know, some guys don't even look in the mirror before they walk out the door, you know what I mean? It's just like, in general, women are the ones that are more concerned with the clothing. So God uses women as an example, but with that said, realize that this is for everyone. This includes everyone. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, look what it says. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in, let's say this word together, or these two words together, modest apparel. You see that? Let's say it again. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now notice what it says here. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but, which becometh women professing godliness, with good works. You say, what is this teaching? All right, let's define some words for you. The word modest means having or showing a moderate or humble estimate of oneself, free from vanity, egotism, boastfulness, or great pretensions, free from ostentation or showy extravagance. You ever heard somebody say, oh, they live in a modest house? What are they saying? It's not necessarily the nicest one. It's not the most flashy, extravagant. It's not a palace. All right? It's just a nice house. Okay? God says that He wants the ladies, and really it's everyone, to wear modest apparel. Clothing that doesn't bring attention to yourself. Now look, He says, broided hair, gold or pearls. And look, I don't believe God is teaching here that you shouldn't look nice. Okay? The Bible often makes references to the women in the Bible, being pretty and being beautiful. And I don't think they were these bad women, you know, that just kind of, you know, let themselves go. But what He's saying is this: your makeup and your clothing and your jewelry should not be so extravagant that it's bringing attention to yourself. Because remember, your exterior is a reflection of your interior. And a woman or a man that dresses in a way to bring attention to themselves, that dresses in a way, they think, I want everybody to look at me. When I walk in a room, I want everybody to see me. I want everybody to look at me to think, wow, look how good they look. Look, all that tells us is that in the interior, there's not a focus on God. Because a Christian's life is to what? Bring glory to not self, but God.
Amen.
And when you want the attention for yourself, when you want to be the center of the world, all that is showing that in your heart you desire to have everyone's attention, and your job is to represent Jesus Christ, not yourself.
Amen.
Now look at the word shamefacedness. Shamefacedness means modest or bashful, showing shame. It's talking about being humble, not wanting to be the center of attention. The word sobriety, that'd be a good word for some of you to learn. The state or quality of being sober.
That's right.
Temperate or moderation, serious, gravity, solemnity. He said, I don't want you to be extravagant. I don't want you to be the center of attention. I want your life to be focused on bringing glory to God. He says, including the way you dress. He said, you should dress in a way that is modest. You should not dress in a way where people just, you know, you walk in and it's like, wow, look at how he's dressed. Because that's bringing glory to you. Okay, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. You're there in 1 Timothy? 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me show you another example. 1 Peter chapter 3.
1 Peter chapter 3.
Look at verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 3. 1 Peter 3:3 says, whose adorning, talking about the ladies again, let it not be that, notice, outward adorning. He says, your focus should not be on the outward man. Of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, of putting on of apparel, but let it be the, here's what he said. He says, here's where I want your focus. Let it be the hidden man. Of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. He says, look, when you dress, the way you dress yourself, the way you're clothed, I don't want it bringing attention to you, because your whole life, inside, outside, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you think, the way you live, everything about you ought to be focused on bringing glory to God.
Amen.
And he says, that should be reflected in the way you look, the way you appear.
The word modest means our goal is not to attract attention. And please understand, this does not mean ugly. I think you should dress nice. I think you should look nice. But you should be modest.
Sometimes people ask me, Pastor, why do you wear a shirt and tie to church? Why do you wear a suit? Now look, if you're a guy here, you don't wear a shirt and tie, I'm not against you. It doesn't matter to me. You can dress whatever you like. We don't have a dress code here. We don't tell people how to dress. I don't think everybody has to wear a shirt and tie to church. But here's what I do think. Everybody should wear their nicest thing to church. You say, why? Look, you know, so you say, well, I know this preacher, and he preaches in a Hawaiian shirt, and he wears flip-flops. Okay, look, if I was going to go meet the president, do you think they would let me show up in a Hawaiian t-shirt and flip-flops? I'm here to see the president. No, you're not. Now, look, who's more important? The president of the United States or God?
God.
Look, all I'm saying is this. When I go to meet with God, I want to look my best.
That's right.
Amen.
You say, well, I am wearing my best. It's not your thing. Look, whatever your best is, you ought to wear it. But I think you ought to wear your best for God. Now, look, if you agree with that, you don't agree with that, that's fine. It doesn't matter. All I'm saying is this. Our job is, I didn't say dress ugly. I didn't say dress scraggly. I didn't say look like, you know, a bag woman or a homeless person. All I'm saying is this. You ought to be modest. Let me give you an example. Now, I'll give you an example for with the men, so we kind of lay off the ladies. I got these pictures off the internet, you know. And I've got here a picture. I don't know if you can see this or not. If you can't see it, you should have sat in the front. But I've got a picture here of a guy. Look, is this guy dressed nice? I think he's dressed nice. Would everybody look at this guy and say, he is dressed. Look at him. Looks like he came off the street. He looks nice. A dark suit, a white shirt, a nice tie. Now look, if this guy walked into church this morning, would we all just be like, wow, look at him. Look at that suit. I bet that's from Men's Warehouse. I don't think anybody would say that, right? Well, I mean, we'd be like, yeah, it looks nice. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you, right? Looks nice. Okay. Now, what if this guy walked in? And look, if you own this, I'm not making fun of you. What if Pastor Emmanuel showed up to church this morning and I had a suit that came out of here? Red, black pinstripes, red shoes, red socks, red tie, just jewelry. I promise you, there is a preacher in America wearing this right now, preaching. There is some charismatic, Pentecostal, health and wealth guy. Just a feather in my hat. Drove in my lowrider. Now look, is this bringing glory? Who's this bringing glory to, though? Honestly. Who's the center of attention here? I just printed these pictures. I almost had a couple guys dress up like this. I should have done that, but... All I'm saying is this. The way you dress shows where your focus is. Are you the focus? And here's the thing. If you're attempting to be the focus in the exterior, all that tells us is your interior desires to be the focus. God says, I am to be the focus of your life. Your life is to bring glory to God. And He said, I want that to be evident in every area of your life, even the way you dress. You say, Pastor, how does God want us to dress? Well, I'm not going to tell you, you got to wear this shirt, you got to wear this brand. But I'm going to tell you this, it ought to be modest. It ought to not be designed for you to be the center of attention. God wants you to dress modestly. Why? Because your exterior reflects your interior. Let me give you something else. Go to Revelation, chapter number 3. The book of Revelation, last book in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 3. How does God want you to wear? We're going to go real deep right now, okay? So some of you are going to have to sit back and focus, all right? You may have to write this down. Okay, how does God want you to wear? How does God want you to clothe yourself? Okay, God wants you to clothe yourself in a way, you ready? I know this is hard, that covers your nakedness. Say, Pastor, we know that. Okay, well, here's the problem. What if I told you that there's a whole society of people that are running around naked and they didn't know it? You say, what are you talking about? Are you there in Revelation chapter 3? Revelation chapter 3? Look at verse number 14. Revelation chapter 3, just so you can get the context, verse 14. The Bible says here, Jesus Christ is specifically talking to a church, okay? And He says, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot,
I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art... Now, don't miss this, okay? And knowest not. That means these people don't realize this. Now, what do they think? Verse 17. Because thou sayest, here's what they think, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And you know what? In America, there's a whole lot of people who think they are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, including God. But look what it says. What they don't realize is, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. Notice the next words. And naked. God says, you don't even realize that you're naked. He said, you don't even realize that you're not fully clothed. See, you got to understand this, okay? And I'm going to try to teach this to you. I'm going to try to show you. Go to Exodus, book of Exodus. Genesis, Exodus. You got to understand this, okay? What God defines, what the Bible defines as nakedness, and what our society defines as nakedness, are two different things. They are not the same thing. In fact, Jesus looked down at a church. He said, you think you got it all put together? He said, you think you got all the money you need? You think you got all the goods you need? You think you got everything you need? He said, you don't realize you are wretched, you are poor, you are blind. He said, you don't even know that you're naked. Because God defines nakedness differently than our society. So I'd like to teach you what God defines as nakedness. Are you there in Exodus chapter 28? Look at verse 42. Exodus chapter 28, verse 42. Exodus 28, verse 42. I'm going to show you pretty much the one thing that our society and the Bible agree on as nakedness first, okay? Exodus 28, verse 42. Exodus 28, verse 42 says, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. So what was the point of them getting pants on? Is to cover their nakedness, right? Now he's going to describe for us what that nakedness is. Look what it says. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. So he says, I want you to make... He's talking about the priest here. The word breeches means breeches or pair of pants. He said, I want you to make them a pair of pants to cover their nakedness. And just so you understand what I consider nakedness, he says, I want it to go from the loins to the thigh. Okay? Now, what does the word loins mean? I'm going to try to just say this as non-specific as I can, okay? The loins are the part of the body that is, try to follow me now, below your waist, between your hips, and above your thighs. Okay? It's the reproductive organs. It's what's normally considered the private area. Does that make sense? All right? God considers that nakedness. Now you say, well, everybody considers that nakedness, Pastor. I know. But I just wanted to show you from the Bible. God says your loins, your reproductive organs are nakedness. But notice what else God considers nakedness. Okay? Exodus 28, look at verse 42. Exodus 28, verse 42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. Okay? From the loins, we got that covered, right? Even unto the thighs. Do you see that? Even unto the thighs they shall reach. When God talks to us about nakedness, He adds to the description the thigh. Okay, go to Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. Towards the end of the New Testament, you got those big books of the Bible there. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Isaiah chapter 47. Hey, Pastor, are you telling us how to dress? Are you giving us a dress code? Look, I'm not telling you how to dress. You dress the way you think. All I'm trying to show you is scriptures. So you can make appropriate decisions. If you care about what God thinks, then you will look at these verses and adjust accordingly. Isaiah 47, look at verse number 1. Isaiah 47, verse number 1. Isaiah 47, verse 1. Isaiah 47 and verse 1 says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Now notice what the Word of God says here. Make bare the leg, uncover the thigh. Okay, so He says, make your leg bare. He says, uncover the thigh. Pass over the river. Now notice what He says. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Okay, now this is not a good thing.
God is talking about the day He's going to judge them. In those days, oftentimes, when an army or a military would take over another country, they would shame those people by making them march naked or making them do things in their nakedness. So here, this is what God is referring to. He says, uncover your thigh. He says, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Okay, so He said, your nakedness is going to get uncovered. And what did He say to uncover? Your thigh. So what does God consider nakedness? A thigh. God considers a thigh a nakedness. In Exodus 22, He says, your nakedness from your loins, which we would all agree, your loins are your nakedness. I hope you everybody agrees with that. But then He says, your thigh. He says, look at the last part of the verse. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance. I will not meet thee as a man. Now, does it sound like God is happy with it? He says, I will take vengeance. He said, I'm not going to meet you like a man. I'm going to meet you like the God that is going to judge you. He says, uncover your thigh and you uncover your nakedness. So what can we learn from this? God considers your thigh nakedness. Okay, let me give you another example. Go to Isaiah chapter 20. Isaiah chapter 20. Isaiah 20. Isaiah 20 verse 24. What else does God consider nakedness? Isaiah 20 verse 24. Pastor, why are you preaching this? Because I got to preach the whole thing. Isaiah chapter 20, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 20, verse 4. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked. You see that? So how's he going to lead them away? Naked. He's going to lead them naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. So what does God consider your nakedness? Your rear end. Your backside, your bottom is considered nakedness. And you say, well, Pastor, doesn't everybody know that? Look, I know a whole lot of plumbers that need this preaching. You know what I mean? I know a whole lot of people. Okay. So what does God consider nakedness? Loins. Okay, what does the Bible say is nakedness? Your loins, your thighs, and your backside. Okay, let's get practical. All right, let's bring it home. What does that mean? Here's what that means. Every Christian lady that puts on a bathing suit or a bikini or short shorts or a miniskirt that expose her thigh, her backside, is naked. And today there are beaches full of people running around naked. They don't even know it. And people look at me and say, Pastor, you are some sort of a dinosaur. You are weird. I mean, is this a cult? They think we're crazy. Okay, look. If a lady walked into this auditorium right now, dressed in her underwear, would we all think that's okay? Just sat down, you know, oh, here's a bulletin. How you doing? Glad to see you. I mean, if she just walked in her underwear, we would all think like, whoa, what is going on? We'd probably ask her to leave. We'd throw like a coat on her and said, you need to go put some clothes on. Yet you think that same woman could take that same outfit, put it on a beach, or put it in a pool, and all of a sudden, that's fine. Didn't that make sense to you? Do you understand that a bikini and underwear are the same thing? Well, it's not acceptable. Look, if it's not acceptable in public here, why would it be acceptable in public anyway?
That's right.
It's nakedness. It's wrong. And people run around naked, go jogging naked, go to the lake naked, and don't even know it. How does God want you to wear?
Modestly.
How does God want you to dress? And by the way, you know, let's take it a step further. You ladies, you're like, well, I don't dress like that.
I don't wear a miniskirt. Well, let me just give you some practical things. You ladies that wear, you know, you think, okay, well, I gotta cover the thigh, so I'm just gonna go right to my knee. That covers my thigh. Make sure that your skirt is, you know, if you're gonna be doing this all day, just get a longer skirt. If you sit down and your skirt, you know, your skirt, it covers my nakedness. As soon as you sit down, it's like, woo! That doesn't cover your nakedness. Your thigh is still exposed.
I don't think you should be preaching this. Look, did it not come straight out of the Bible?
That's right. That's right.
Is it not my job to preach the Word of God?
That's right.
Look, you got to understand this about the pastor. My job is not to make friends. I want to be your friend, don't get me wrong. But my job is not to make friends. My job is to preach the Word.
Right.
My job is to teach you the Bible.
Thank you, God.
My job is not for you to be running around naked and not even know it. Because God wants you to wear and dress a certain way. Your exterior should be a reflection of your interior. God wants your clothes. By the way, go to Proverbs chapter 7. Let me give you another one. I just want to make sure I fully offend everybody. Proverbs chapter 7. Pastor, you play favorites. No, I upset everyone. Proverbs chapter 7. Look at verse 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Look at verse 7. How does God want you to wear? I'm trying to help you ladies realize how God wants you to wear. How God wants you to dress. Not just ladies, men. Hey look, men, your short shorts aren't cool on you either. They're still your naked. It's not the 70s, okay? Let it go. Okay, cover your thigh, alright? Proverbs chapter 7, look at verse 10. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10. Look what it says. Proverbs 7, verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire, that's the clothing, of an harlot. Now, we all know what a harlot is. Wait, you know what the Bible is teaching us here? There is a woman that dressed to look a certain way. And by the way, you say, you know why, Pastor, why are you preaching this? Because we need to teach our young ladies how to dress.
That's right.
And you know, you ought to teach your girls, and you ought to, you young girls, you teenagers, you young ladies, look, you ought to, I read this quote somewhere, I thought it was a good quote. You ought to dress the way you'd like to be addressed.
That's right. That's good, Pastor.
You say, all these guys just treat me like I'm cheap.
Maybe it's because you're dressed like you're cheap.
Come on.
Yeah. All these guys, they treat me like I've got no value. Maybe you're not dressed like you got. You want to be treated with respect? You want to be treated with value? You want to be treated like you're something special? You got to dress like you've got some value. You got to dress like you've got some respect. You got to dress like you've got something to offer. Don't dress like you're on sale. I don't like that type of preaching. Well, look, you can go to any church in Sacramento and you're not going to hear this type of preaching.
That's right.
You're going to hear say, dress however you want. God looks on the outward appearance. Nobody cares about on the inward appearance. Nobody cares about the outside. It doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. The Bible says it matters.
Thank you, God.
Why would God put all these verses in the Bible if He didn't care how you look? He says, there is an attire of a harlot. Go to Genesis 38. Genesis, first book in the New Testament. Genesis 38. Sometimes people say to me, man, you preach like this, you're never going to build a church. Well, that would be good if we were trying to build a church, but I'm not trying to build a church.
Amen. Right.
Last time I read my Bible, Jesus Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look, my job as a pastor of Verity Baptist Church is not to build this church. My job is to preach the Word. I'll do that, I'll let God take care of His job.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Genesis 38, look at verse 13. Genesis 38, verse 13. Say, well, I don't dress like this. I wear miniskirts or whatever. Look, I'm not against you. I don't care. Look, I have a wife. I have kids. I'm not worried about what you do at home. My job is just to teach you the Bible. You do what you want with it. You understand that? Well, now if I see Pastor Jimenez out and I'm wearing my little short shorts, he's going to think, I'm not going to think anything about you. In fact, I'm just going to try to get out of it. Have a good day. See you Sunday. Proverbs 38. Look at verse 13. Proverbs 38, verse 13. I'm sorry, did I say Proverbs? Genesis. Genesis 38. You're smart enough to know that, though, right? Genesis 38. Genesis 38, look at verse 13. Genesis 38, 13. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnah to shear the sheep. Now, I don't have time to go through the whole story and explain to you, but here you've got a young lady named Tamar. She married a young man. He died. She married another young man. She was promised a son from Judah. She never got that promise. She's been waiting for a husband. She never got the husband. She finally realizes that Judah's just going to, is taking advantage of her and not taking care of her like he should take care of her. So she's going to get revenge on Judah, her father-in-law. Okay, just kind of quickly catch you up on the story. Verse 13, and it was told Tamar, that's a young lady, saying, behold, thy father-in-law, that's Judah, goeth up to Timnah to shear the sheep. And she put her widow's garment off from her. What does that tell us? Widows dress a certain way. And covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in the open place, which is by the way of Timnah, for she saw that Shelah had was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. Verse 15, and Judah saw her, and when he saw her, look what it says. He thought her to be an harlot. She took off the widow's clothing and she put on another outfit. And when they saw her, well, he shouldn't judge a book by its cover. I don't know how else to judge a book. He saw her and he thought, well, here's a harlot. Here's a cheap woman, a loose woman, a woman that has no respect for herself, a woman that would do anything for money. How did he know that? By the way, she was dressed. Because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her, and by the wayside, go to, I pray thee. And of course, you can read the rest of the story there, and there's more to that. I just want you to see this. The Bible teaches that there are certain ways people dress. And harlots dress certain clothing. And widows dress certain ways. And women that love God, and men that love God, and men that want to be modest and want to cover their nakedness, opt to dress a certain way. And go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Here's what I'm saying. You say, how does God want you to wear? What does God want you to wear? How does He want you to be clothed? He wants you to be clothed in a modest way. A way that does not bring attention to yourself. How does God want you to be clothed? He wants you to cover your nakedness. How does God want you to dress? We learn from these stories that there is a certain way that a harlot looks. Look, you need to understand this. I'm not trying to be too personal, but God wants your clothes to not bring an inappropriate attention to you. I'm specifically talking to the ladies now, because some of you guys, you don't have anything to worry about. But ladies, you are not dressed in a way where it causes men to want to look at you. Okay? Now let me say this. Let's just read the verse and then I'll... Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever, notice this, looketh on a woman to lust after her, committeth adultery with her already. Okay, let's just get this out there. Men, you gotta have enough character and self-discipline and just, good common sense to not be looking at women, lusting after them. Control your eyes, control yourself. It doesn't matter how they're dressed. The Bible says that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, committeth adultery with her. Job said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I think upon a maid? You ought not. It is a sin to look at a woman and lust after her. It is a sin. You say, well, she's dressed inappropriate. You control yourself. You develop character. You don't look at her because that is wrong. But let me just cue you in on something, ladies, because here's what ladies like to say. They say, well, the way I dress doesn't bother me. If they lust after me, that's their problem. And you're right. It is their problem. And they are sinners and they need to get right with God. But look at what the verse says. Matthew 5. Ye have heard that it was said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, committeth adultery, make note of these words, with her. Do you see that? You know what that means? Ladies, you took a part in that. When you dress inappropriately and you dress in a way to not bring attention to God but to bring attention to yourself, and some guy who has no character looks at you and lusts after you, God says he committed adultery and God says you committed adultery. He committed adultery with her. You ought not dress in a way that is meant to bring inappropriate looks to you. Let's get practical. That means tight, revealing clothing. You should not dress in a way to reveal your body. We're talking about the low-cut shirts. We're talking about the tight dresses. We're talking about the things that are meant so that guys will look at you. The Bible says it's wrong. The Bible says you ought to dress in a way that doesn't bring attention to yourself. It brings attention to God because your exterior should be a reflection of your interior. And by the way, let me just go ahead and take a moment. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let me just show you something. While we're in the awkward silence, we'll go ahead and deal with this too. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 12. I'm sorry, not verse 12. Verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now in 1 Timothy 5, the Bible is talking about how to treat different people in the church. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Rebuke not an elder. Now the word elder here is not talking about a pastor. It's talking about an older man. Later in the passage, it talks about an elder in regards to a pastor. Verse 17 says, let the elders, you say, how do you know that's a pastor? Because it says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So from the context, we know the elder there is the pastor, the bishop. But in verse 1, it's not elder, although you could use it for a pastor too, but it's actually talking about a person who the Bible would refer to as an old person. Now look, you say, well, what does the Bible refer, you know, what does the Bible call an old person, an elder? Look at verse 9, okay? 1 Timothy 5:9. Let not a widow be taken into the number, look what it says, under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. The Bible says that a widow who meets certain qualifications should be taken care of by the church if she has no family to take care of her. He said, but do not take care of a widow that is not elder. And he tells us that an elder person, God decided that an elder person is 80 years old. A score is 20, so 20s is 60 years old. If you are 60 years old and younger, God says you are young. If you are 60 years old and older, God says you are old. My apologies to those of you that don't like that. That's what God says. I'm not holding it against you. That's just what the Bible says. Some of you are like, whew, got 3 months. look at verse 75. Look at verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. So a man that comes to our church who's 60 years old and older, how should we treat him? As a father. We should respect him like he's our older father. Like, just take care of him, help him, you know, be there. He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Look what it says. And the younger men, 60 and, you know, 59 and younger, how do you treat those men? Look what it says. And the younger men as brethren. By the way, that's why we say, hey, brother so-and-so, how you doing? Hey, bro. Why? Because we're a family. We're a spiritual family. How should we treat the men in this church? How should they treat each other? Like brothers? Amen. How should we treat the older men? Like fathers? Look at verse 2. The elder women, 60 years old and higher, how do we treat them? As mothers? Treat them like they're your mom. Respect them like they're your mom. Love them like they're your mom. Now don't miss this. The elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters. Okay, so we're to treat the younger women, 59 and below, as they're our sisters. Hey, sister so-and-so, how you doing? Good to see you, sister so-and-so. But notice, God adds a caveat to the end of that one. Notice, he said, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Done with that statement. Younger men as brethren, done with that statement. The elder women as mothers, done with that statement. The younger women as sisters, and he says, but let me just throw something in there, with all purity. Do you see that? Listen to me, men. You are to treat the ladies of this church with purity, with holiness. You are to treat the ladies of this church with respect. This is not a nightclub. This is not Christian mingle. This is not where you come find your date. No man in this church ought to be saying anything inappropriate to any of the ladies in this church. Don't comment on how they look. I don't care if last week they weighed 600 pounds and this week they weigh 170. You ought not be talking to ladies about the way they look. It's wrong. It's inappropriate. It's not pure.
That's right.
Pastor, I just got an itch to tell somebody how good they look. You come tell Pastor Jimenez how good he looks, alright? You really got to compliment somebody. You don't comment on the way ladies look. You don't ask them personal questions. You seeing anybody? This is not a nightclub. You don't, look, you know, you, if you are single and never been married, and you're looking for a good young lady that, you know, or young man that's single and never been married that loves God, we're going to try to do everything we can to hook you up. Other than that, divorce, remarried, you know, whatever, other than that, this is not the place. And nowhere should be the place. That's a sermon for another day. You treat the ladies with respect, with purity. And if you don't do it, then you're going to have a talk with a few of us. And that's already happened. So.
That's right.
You say, oh, you're trying to threaten. I'm not trying to threaten. I'm just telling you, in the house of God, we need to deal orderly. Amen. And we have to treat our ladies with respect. Sisters with all purity. Hey, Pastor, why are you preaching this? The goal is to glorify God with our life.
Amen.
The goal is to take attention off ourselves and on God.
Amen.
And your exterior reflects your interior. If your exterior is all about, look at me, look at how good I look, everybody look at me, then all that tells us is your heart is all about you. Christians that always desire to bring attention to themselves are just revealing what their heart is about. And that includes your clothing. We're going to look at two passages where we're done, okay? Go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, and then go to John chapter 3. We're done right here. Jeremiah chapter 6, John chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 6, John chapter 3. Say, Pastor, I came here to learn about a transformed life. That was last week's sermon. This one's about clothing. All right? You missed it. Yeah, I always miss it. Maybe if you're more consistent, you wouldn't. Jeremiah chapter 6, John chapter 3. You think I'm kidding? Was not last week's sermon about a transformed life? Zacchaeus, remember that? Was that last week? I think that was last week. Jeremiah chapter 6, John chapter 3. There's a cycle. Some of you can start writing out. Nice sermon, mean sermon, you know, the pattern. You'll start coming to church based on the pattern. Let me just help you out. Nice sermon, mean, nice. mean. Jeremiah chapter 6, John chapter 3. I'm just kidding. Jeremiah chapter 6, John chapter 3. Every time I come to church, it's negative. Maybe it's because you're always doing something wrong. Just putting that out there. Jeremiah chapter 6, John chapter 3. Get yourself on the positive side of that sermon. You'll be saying amen. Jeremiah chapter 6, John chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 6, John 3. Imagine a church where people honestly meant from their heart to glorify God with their lives. Is that not what Jesus said He came to do? To glorify the Father? And what are we supposed to do? The same thing He did, glorify the Father. And in your heart you glorify God. Are you there in John chapter 3? Look at verse 30. Very small verse. John chapter 3 verse 30. John the Baptist said this. John chapter 3 verse 30. He said, this is what John said. He said, He must increase, but I must decrease. He said, He must increase, but I must decrease. That is the goal of our lives. That is the goal of the Christian life, is to bring glory to God. We ought to teach our young girls. We ought to teach our ladies. Are you there in Jeremiah 6? Jeremiah 6? Jeremiah 6? And look, your actions tell us what's on the interior. We had a guy coming to this church and he said some inappropriate things to some ladies. We had a talk with him. He never came back. You know what that shows us? That's what he was here for. Wasn't here to love God. Wasn't here to learn about the Word of God. He wanted to find a date. Well, you can find that at the church down the street. They'll probably hook him up. But not here. It's inappropriate. It's wrong to make comments to ladies about the way they look. If they are not your mom, if they are not your sister, if they are not your wife. Jeremiah 6:15. Look what it says. Jeremiah 6:15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. That's the society we live in. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. You know, I've used this illustration before, but you know, you take a little girl, and you put her in a little skimpy outfit, a little skimpy game. You know, at first they're just kind of like, they're blushing. You know, the sad part is, you moms and dads tell, oh, it's no big deal, we're going to the beach, it's no big deal. And you cause your children to lose the ability to blush. And then you're wondering why they're living in fornication as teenagers. You're wondering why they end up, you know, pregnant before marriage. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just telling you, the Bible, God says, I want you to blush. He said, I want there to be things that make you be shamefaced. I want you to have seriousness to yourself. Look, I don't want my little girl to be comfortable in a skimpy outfit. I want her to grow up realizing that she has something of value. She has something worth respecting. She has something worth waiting till a godly man puts a ring on her finger and walks her down the aisle and takes responsibility for her. She's not a piece of meat. She's not a picture on a website. She's an individual that should be respected and honored and treated correctly. And by the way, that's the same desire you should have for your children. But that's not the society we live in. Society we live in says, just be naked, just dress however you want, just be modest. It's cool to be modest. You go buy clothes for little girls and they're all putting mini skirts and little skimpy outfits. You ought not do that. Teach your daughters to dress properly. Christian men should respect ladies. You say, well, she has no respect for herself. She dressed that way. If she doesn't have respect for herself, you have respect for her. It is our... You say, well, Pastor, why does it matter? Why does it matter? Why do you have to preach this? Why? Because of this.
Your exterior reflects your interior. You know, you see a girl dressed inappropriately, you ought to just feel bad for her because, honestly, you know why she's dressed that way? Because she doesn't have a lot of self-esteem.
That's right.
She needs attention because she doesn't think she has it. She doesn't need some guy to come take her on a date. She needs a good godly lady to put her hand around her and say, hey, listen, you've got something of value. God loves you. I love you. We're here for you. That's the society. You say, why does God care? Because man looks on your outward appearance.
We ought to have a revolution back to the Word of God.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I ask that you would please bless the sermon. I know it's not the most popular sermon. I know it's not the most encouraging type message that someone could preach, Lord, but it's the Word of God.
You want us to look and dress a certain way. You want us to value our relationships. You want us to value our relationship with you. You want us to glorify you. You want us to bring attention to you, to take the focus of ourselves. I'm not saying to look ugly. I'm not saying we can't look nice. But our focus should be on God.
Father, I pray you'd help us to have that focus. We love you, Lord, in your precious name I pray. Amen.